Amen. 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 Thank you. Praise God. I heard Mary Go Cheshire sing that song, and I got it and gave it to Emily and said, learn this one. She learned it. Isn't that good? Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, amen. It's anointed. There's something about the anointing of God. The influence of that name is remarkable. Amen? The mere influence of the name of Jesus on the lives of people. People that have never heard His name, when it's spoken, the power of the Holy Spirit goes out to them and draws them to Him. People that know Him. In the day of sorrow, have you ever just said the name? Jesus. When you didn't have anything else to say and couldn't say anything else, you said the name, and God gave strength. Well, through that name and through the very gift that God gave us through Jesus Christ, He promised us a power that was to come. Jesus talked about it. John talked about it. And now we've experienced this great power of the gift of the Holy Spirit to this earth. And to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Amen. How many of you know Him? I'm telling you this. He'll be so close to you. When you look at the great Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He's not the third member in ranking. Jesus isn't the second member in ranking. There's no competition in the Godhead. God's the Father, but they're all God. And one. Amen. Something that's hard to consider. Jesus came to this earth and walked on this earth. And He walked on this earth in full, complete flesh as a man. And full, complete deity as God. He was God and man at one time. I've heard notions and ideologies and even doctrines today that say that Jesus wasn't deity. That's heresy. That's not true. He was not only the Son of God, He was God in the flesh. If my son stands here by me and I talk to him, or my daughter stands here by me and they leave and go to another location, my son's in Africa and California, that doesn't mean he's not my son, doesn't it? Natalie lives down here and I live in Springfield. That doesn't mean she's not my daughter, does it? You see, the bloodline goes wherever the individual goes. And Jesus came to this earth, and He didn't lay down His deity. He was God. He came down to this earth for one reason. Not for God to know you better, but He came down to this earth so we could know God through Him. That's why He lived a sinless life. Let me tell you something. There was no failure rate in the life of Jesus. From His birth, till the last breath He drew, till the resurrection that gave you eternal hope, there was no failure in Jesus Christ. He was a great success. He pleased the Father. He pleased the Holy Spirit. He did exactly what He was asked to do. Come to earth and minister to people. Teach them how to be servants, which is the highest category known on creation. And after He was here for this 33.5 years and this 3.5 years of ministry, where He walked among us and He touched us, He healed us, He provided for us. Francis, you look wonderful today. God's healing you. Everybody say amen for that. Praise God. Oh, don't start crying. Now I'm going to preach. Hang on. That's the crying prophet right here on the front row. You got a reason to be happy, though, don't you, Francis? Give me a high five. Glory to God. We're not even going to edit that out of the tape. Glory to God. He came to this earth and He walked among us so we could know God intimately. We could touch Him. He would caress us and hold our children. He would walk to the blind that had no hope and give them hope and give them new eyes, Jason. Brand new eyes. He would walk to the leper who was the outcast. And I don't know about you, but I've been in the outcast category before. But He came to me. And he touched me, and he took away the leprosy and gave me clean flesh and gave me a new hope. He's the one that told the story and raised up the truth of the prodigal in a parable of one who walked away from the Father and wasted everything. Some of you have been the prodigal. But at the end of the day, when he came to his senses, and that's the gift of the Holy Ghost, when the understanding came back to that young man, he got up and he went home. He said, listen, being home and being a second-class citizen and being a servant in my Father's house is better than being one of the guys I've found out in the world, because there's no help there. So he got up nasty and filthy and broken, busted, and went home. And the Father said, you're not coming home to be a servant. You're not coming home to be a second-class citizen. Go get the best robe I've got. Get the best shoes I've got. And give me the signet ring of power and authority. And when he came up the road, he covered his sin and filth with a robe of righteousness. And that's what he did with you. And that's what he did with me. Jesus is marvelous. He's wonderful. And he's worthy of our praise. Amen. He's glorious. And he deserves the honor and the glory that we should give him. He covered our sins. He covered our sorrow. He put new shoes on our feet. He got us a shower that washed away the filth that the world couldn't wash away. And then he reinstated us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And after this short sojourn on earth, the Son of God said this, I'm going to go someplace and you may not understand this. In fact, you're not going to understand it. It's going to boggle your mind that I'm going to leave you. But unless I go away, he said in John chapter 16, the counselor will not come. The counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he will do these things. He's going to convict the world of guilt in regard to these three things. He's going to convict the world of guilt in regard to these things. The word convict in the Greek means this. It means to expose, or it means to convince. He's going to expose these areas. He's going to expose the sins of mankind. He's going to expose what righteousness really is. And he's going to expose the judgment that awaits for anyone who doesn't know him. He's going to open it up. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. He's telling these that are with him. He said, I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned, he's saying this, I'm going to the Father, the devil's been beat, and I'm going to send you a convincer and a guide and a power source and a lover of your soul and a strength and a straight line to God that's going to help you until we are reunited as a family again. My friends, listen to me. I don't know about you, but I've got an investment on the other side. I've got a mother and a father. I've got a father-in-law and a brother-in-law. I've got a sister-in-law. I've got a bunch that are waiting for me to come to the other side and join hands and have a family reunion again and begin to worship God, because he has redeemed them through his blood, but he sent me strength until I get on the other side. The counselor, the guide, the power in my life. He said this, I have much more to say to you, in John chapter 16, verse 13. More than you can bear right now. But listen, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will speak. This is so important to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. How many would like to have something or some guidance system in your life that's going to give you understanding about the future in your life? Would you like to have that? You've got it in the Holy Ghost. He said he's going to do that. He's going to tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So we're going to have the mind of Christ through the indwelling Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. How many want the mind of God in your heart? How many wants the mind of Jesus Christ in your life to guide you? Amen? And along... All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is Jesus talking. And that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So you're going to have the mind of God. You're going to be able to understand with perception, and you're going to be able to understand with the speaking of the Holy Spirit in your voice what's going on and what's coming. He's going to give you sensitivity to what's going on around you. You're going to have an awareness that the world doesn't have. Let me tell you something. When you come to Jesus Christ and you become a child of God and you ask Christ to come in your life and He regenerates you, He recreates you, He makes you a new being and saves you from an eternal hell where you would be lost without time or without hope, then after He does that, then He allows the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to live inside you. And He indwells you at salvation. So you've got this big edge on the rest of anyone, because not only have you got eternal life and your sins have been forgiven, you've got God resident in your life. Isn't that something to shout about? Isn't that something to say thank you, Lord, for? Now, this is not all. Jesus is talking, and He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send a counselor. I'm going to send a friend. I'm going to send someone that's going to do something even greater than what you've imagined. Not only am I going to redeem you and give you the relief of eternity, knowing that you're secure in God, but I'm going to go further than that. I'm going to baptize you in power. I'm going to baptize you in strength. I'm going to baptize you in an awareness that's going to let you walk in a realm that you've never walked before. Let me tell you this, and if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. But once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're never the same. Things changed. But His influence hasn't come just lately. The power and the influence of the Holy Ghost is something that's been with us because He's God. He is the I Am. There is no beginning. He wasn't introduced on the scene at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the I Am in the form of the Spirit of God. You understand that? He has always been. If you go all the way back to the time of Exodus, one of the great stories that I like to read is the story of the tent of meeting. This is where we need to begin to come back to as children of God. You see, we've kind of gotten a little bit off the mainstream in the church today by my thinking. We've got so intelligent, we've got so smart, we're starting to figure this out on our own. And let me tell you where that will lead you. That'll lead you to a dead-end dirt road that has confusion and no hope. Stick with the Word. Stick with the Word. Stay with the basics. Go back to the truth. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died and took the sins of all mankind. He rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand at the seat of the Father God in the throne in heaven and makes intercession for us. He sent the Holy Ghost to fill you and to baptize you and to empower you to be His agents on this earth until He calls us into His glorious presence. Yes. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit encompasses everything. It has the ability to do everything God said. What He hears is what God says. What He does is what God does. What He gives us is who God is. So through Him, we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. the name of Jesus. They shall heal quicker than the doctors in the name of Jesus. He said we can take the most tangled knot, and in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he can untangle it. He can take the confusion of life. He can take the confusion of your future. He can take the wonderings of what am I going to do? What am I going to become? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to do for an occupation? What am I going to do just tomorrow to make it? He takes all of those and gives us understanding, gives us direction, points us in the right way, and then encourages us with God's power to accomplish what God wants in our life. What a God we have. No, listen, we can never say we've been left alone. We can never say that we're just getting through life like a pilgrim. Yeah, we're a pilgrim and a stranger, but don't take it out of context. I'm not attaching myself to the surroundings of the world. That's what that means. I am someone who has a destiny, and I'm going to that destiny by the power of the Holy Ghost that guides me to that destiny. That's as far as a pilgrim as I'm getting. I'm just going through and not being part of. When the world offers you an opportunity to be part of the world, opt out of it. Tell them no thanks. I'm just passing through. I don't have time to be attached. When fear comes to you and tries to grab you and pull you to the side, say, no thanks. I need to opt out of this. I don't have time for fear. I'm passing through. When doubt and depression and sorrow and heartache and trials try to pull you down, tell them, I've given that to Jesus. You're going to have to see him about it. I'm passing through. He encourages you and strengthens you to do just that. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7 that Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside of the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Let me tell you something about the tent of meeting. Let me explain something to you about the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting is where Moses and Aaron would go, and occasionally young Joshua in a distance. And Moses and Aaron and Joshua, when they would go to the tent of meeting, all the children of Israel would go to the gates of their tent, the doors of their tent, and they would look toward the tent of meeting. Everybody look right at me. Look at me. Listen, I want to explain this to you. They would go to the tent. And when they got to the tent, every member of Israel would go to the door of their tent that they had, but this was set out, and they would look and watch Moses. And as they watched Moses, a cloud, a supernatural, divine manifestation from God would show up, and it would come down in front of the tent of meeting. It was a phenomenon. It was incredible. It was something that caused goosebumps to hit everyone that looked at it. And they would look at it with awe and respect. And as they watched it, and they would hold their children up on their shoulders to see it, they would say, look at this. This is God speaking in his spirit to Moses and to Aaron. And the Bible says that Moses and Aaron would come to the tent, and God would give them full instruction on where to take the millions of pilgrims that were passing through to the promised land. And he said to them, watch what happens. And as they would be there, they would be engulfed in that cloud and walk into the very presence of God, and the voice of God would manifest itself through the Spirit of God and begin to speak to Moses and Aaron and tell them, tomorrow you will go here and do this, and I will provide this, and I will show you this, and you will make these moves and appoint these people, and gave them specific instructions. And we look at that story, and sometimes we look at it like it's a fantasy or a fairy tale. It is reality. It happened. It's a historical event. But let me tell you what Jesus was saying. He said, I'm going to do something so great that you have to have the understanding of the past to enjoy the glory of the present. What I'm going to do is this, that I'm going to make you the tent. I'm going to make you the quick to fall apart and quick to die, 100 years, 70 years if you're lucky, but I'm going to make you a portable building that travels through this earth, and I'm going to come down in you like I did in the desert with the children of Israel, and the Holy Ghost is going to descend, and he is going to be, except it's not going to be Moses standing at the tent for everybody, it's going to be you that the Holy Ghost comes in, and you're going to speak to God, and he's going to answer you, and he's going to direct you, and he's going to show you. All you have to do is come to a place where I call you and make yourself available, and I'll baptize you with that power. And you'll become an enduring tent or tabernacle where the Holy Ghost dwells. My friends, you don't get up in the day and just get through the day and say, hey, 3 out of 5 days a week, God guides me and tells me what to do. And the other 4, I stumble through them. But praise God, they're balanced out to where I can just fall into his will the next day and make it. That's not how you operate. Let me explain something to you. And let me get this clear. If you're a born-again child of God that his spirit has indwelled, and you have to be that in order for that. If you have come to him and said, Father, there's a gift called the baptism that I need and I want in my life. And ask him and he will fill you with that. When that happens in your life, the Bible says, the word of God says, and his word is true, if you believe that, say amen, that every step you take, every inch that you walk, every place that the soles of your feet hit become Holy Ghost property, and they become part of the plan of God. You're led by him, not by you. Your mind is his mind, not your mind. Your ways are his ways, not your ways, and you become an agent of the Holy Ghost, a tent and a holder and container of the oil of God. That's who you are. Let me tell you something. Do you think some rotten little filthy demon can penetrate the oil well of God? Everybody say no. Just like that, go no. I mean, like, are you stupid? No. I got to tell you this, because I told it the other day and I forgot how great it was. You've heard it so many times. You'd have been with me, but some of you haven't, and I'm just going to hold everything on you all. The rest of you act like you've heard it the first time, but I love this. We need to remember this. The darkest day of all history. Now listen to this story. This is a true story. I'm just telling you from my vantage point, just like Paul or just like Peter or just like Matthew. It was the darkest day of all history, because Satan thought, in his foolish thinking, Satan thought, Donnie, turn that thing off. It's driving me nuts, will you? For you listening on the tape, it's a fan. And we've already had a mower in the announcements. I'm just kidding, Victor. It's wonderful. Darkest day that ever existed. Satan, God gave me this one day in almost like a vision. It wasn't a vision. I'd love to have a vision. I haven't had one yet. Maybe I'll get one. Well, I'm getting older. Maybe I'll dream, all right? Darkest day of history. Satan, in his obnoxious, egotistical pride, called the demons of all the earth together for a party and said, we did it. We've done it. They hung him on a cross. They tortured him. I directed the whips. Those Roman soldiers plucked out pieces of his flesh. They beat his face until his eyes were green and yellow and purple and swelled shut. They ripped flesh off of his back with a cat of nine tails. They nailed his hands to a cross. They nailed his feet to a cross. They put a crown of thorns on him to harass him and to demean him. They sliced an incision on his side and punctured his heart for good keeping, and he is dead. And all of the demons of hell broke out the beer and whiskey and all of the champagne of hell and the graffiti and began to celebrate. We have defeated him. We have won. We have totally taken over the kingdom. But my friends, listen to what Jesus was saying about the Holy Ghost, that he's already defeated hell. The Bible says that he ascended. He went into the depths, descended into the depths of hell. And the Bible says that he did something there. And old Satan was there on his throne, and he was all high and mighty, and he was leading the party in hell. All of a sudden, a rotten little demon from the back weaved his way through and came to the throne and bowed before him and said, "Your nastiness, your filthiness, your ugliness, your evilness, I'm here to tell you, I've got a little bitty note here that came through our Western Union from the chief demon on earth, and he's got a troubling problem here he needs to see you about." And Satan said, "Tell him to go away. We're having a party. We just killed Jesus." He goes, "Well, you better read this first." And he goes, "What?" And he lifted it up and looked at it, and it said, "To the supreme evil one, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the great dragon, I'm your chief demon on earth, Western Union, stop." He said, "We have a problem. He has risen." Oh, and they said, "Not only that, further, my friends," they said, "he's at the gates of hell now, and he's tore them down, and he's demanding the keys to death and to hell and the grave, and we have had to surrender them to him. He is alive." My friends, listen to me. That's why hell can't harm you. That's why the devil can't defeat you. That's why you need the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, because he has overcome it all. In Acts chapter 16, there's a story very quickly of a man who was the most undeserving renegade, murderer, and torturer of the church by the name of Saul, who became Paul. And now this godly man who didn't live in the past but lived in the present anointing of the Holy Ghost was thrown into prison because he was tired of a little demon-possessed girl that followed them around every day crying out, "These men are the men of the Most High God." Satan recognizes the anointing. Do you understand this? Satan is a harasser. And when you get the anointing of God and you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't be surprised if the little harasser comes around and bothers you at his job, but he is limited. Quit giving him more ground. He's limited. Paul and Silas, they'd been to the temple to pray, and they met this little slave girl, and she was predicting the future. Let me tell you something about the devil. He can only predict. He is not omniscient. God knows the future. He tells the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost tells you, and you won't know more than the devil. I never thought about that. I just told you a strong principle. You know more than Lucifer. You know more than the combined intelligence of hell, because you have the mind of God. That's why you need to stay close to him. Stop this fringe living. Stop compromise. Stop trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You can't. It's impossible. Give him your life. Well, Paul did. The Word of God says that when he rebuked her, finally he got tired of it. He just cast out the devil. Pow, the devil was gone. Had no competition. Because what was in Paul was greater than what was in the world, the demonic power. And the guys that owned the little girl got all shook, and they put a riot together, which they could do quite easily, and they threw them in prison, beat them and tortured them and flogged them. And they were sitting there in prison, Paul and Silas. I mean, they really did beat them. They'd stripped them and beat them. And after they were severely flogged, that's chapter 16, verse 23, they had been severely flogged and they were thrown into the prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stock. I mean, it wasn't just jail. Satan, once again, was having a party. He has more parties that follow. Don't go to his parties. Because about the middle part of that party, about the end part, there's always going to be a little messenger walk in. And the little messenger's going to do what? He's going to mess up the party. He's going to tell them something. Well, he was having a party. The Bible says that they were secure there and he thought he'd done it. But about midnight. Now, let me tell you something about midnight. Midnight, the second after midnight, the sun starts coming up. Midnight goes a.m. to p.m. I mean, to what? Morning. Morning's coming. The sun's rising. God's blessing's going to come. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. Let me tell you something. They couldn't have done that before the Holy Ghost came in them. They didn't have the makeup. They didn't have the constitution. But the Holy Ghost changed them. The Holy Ghost changes you. Don't minimize it. Don't let anyone tell you that there's a different way to get it, that there's a different pattern. I've heard people say that you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not speak in tongues. That's baloney. That's a Greek word I use here regularly. It is the initial evidence, and it is the communication tool between you and God. He was praying, singing. Paul and Silas were there lifting up glorious hands to God. And here's what happened. The Bible says, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison, isn't that strange? Not another building in town was hurt. The pinpoint finger of God. Pow, I know where praise is. If you think you're going through the day and you're alone in this world and nobody hears you, lift your voice and start to praise Him. Get outside by yourself and lift your hands and begin to worship Him. And the pinpoint finger of God will go, pow, there's praise every time. And He'll shake the foundation of the ground you're standing on. I will guarantee it by this word. Not another building was harmed, another building was hurt. Word of God says all at once the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors, he drew his sword and started to kill himself. And Paul said, oh, don't do that. Wait, nope, we're all here. Everything's fine. And the jailer said this, that's enough convince for me. I am absolutely sure. There's no question in my mind that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who did that? The Holy Ghost did that. The Holy Ghost came. He did His work. He rumbled the foundations of the jail. He set the captive free. He let the chains fall off, and He let them stand right where they were and say, nope, we're not leaving this jail. This jail's our jail now. We're going to take care of it. And what we say is, it's not a jail no more. It's a place of freedom. See, in an instant, God can do that and will do that through the Holy Ghost in your life. The jailer came to Jesus Christ, and he was saved and his family. You see, God, through the Holy Ghost, can do miraculous things in your life. Let me read my notes to you. Listen closely. The radical transformation that inherently takes place when Jesus comes into the life of a man or woman is only enhanced by the electrifying change that restructures the inner man and mixes the DNA of God with the human character. John called it the baptism of fire. Jesus called it His gift of indwelling power. The change that the baptism of the Holy Ghost brings to your life is mighty and great, and you'll never be the same again. virtually every area of your existence. Your thought, your actions, your motives will change. When the great counselor, the internal guidance system of God, places his finger of power on your heart and loosens your tongue and opens the direct line of communications between you and the Creator. Why? That's why circumstances, listen to me, that's why circumstances do not dictate a spirit-filled believer. The Holy Ghost does. Did you hear that? That's why circumstances do not dictate a spirit-filled believer. The Holy Ghost does. That's why opposition doesn't control a spirit-filled believer. The Holy Ghost does. That's when limited human virtues cannot drive the passion for God that's within you. The Holy Ghost drives it. The Holy Ghost makes you a lifesaver and a life changer to others. He makes you an interrupter of hell's plans and an implementer of divine intervention. That's why a spirit-filled believer isn't held captive by fear, but becomes an agent of freedom of hell's captives. The Holy Ghost makes you a convincer to the lost of God's unprecedented power and love that held Jesus on the cross and carried him to be seated at the right hand of God to secure for you your eternal life. That's who the Holy Ghost is. My friends, that's why we need the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. He comes against the opposition. He breaks the walls of fear. He separates us from those in the world that lives under the conditions of the world and gives us freedom in Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet quickly. No one